Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All Bills, all day. Buffalo Bills Football Monday on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550. Brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com.
Buffalo will have to go 97 yards, or at least within field goal range in 32 seconds. Back to pass, pumps, throws as he's hit, and it's incomplete. Martin takes the snap. Kicks it high and away, and it's only going to go to the 41, and Robert Woods has room to run out to the 50, and he gets right back to the 48-yard line with 7 seconds left, and they are right back where they were when they lost the football. Here's the snap. Hold is down. Kick is long enough, and it is good. At the gun, Kaimi Fairbairn wins it for the Houston Texans with a 59-yard game-winning field goal.
You know, that's on me. The end-of-game situation on offense, we're in a tough situation. They're holding three timeouts. I got a good field goal kicker. We needed to run the clock and move the chains, and that's on me. We didn't do that there, and that's my fault.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Hey, everybody. It is Buffalo Bills Football Monday. It is not a Victory Monday. Again, we're starved here for Victory Mondays. We won't have one next week. There's a Monday Night Football game. Football Monday brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Jeremy and Joe, morning.
Morning. How'd it go for everybody?
I mean, what do you say?
Were we able to sleep last night? Or we?
Joe, I haven't been able to sleep because of the group of receivers for months.
I thought you were going to say because of the baby, maybe.
No. Who possibly could have seen this coming? Everyone. Everyone. My biggest...
Well, most. Yes. Really pay attention.
Well, listen, I don't want to get mad at Bills fans or have them get mad at me. It's fun to believe in things. And, you know, a couple weeks in, this group was working. They had a formula that seemed to work. But I had my doubts. We had our doubts after they beat the Cardinals. We said, you know, the receivers really didn't have to do much. And then they beat the Dolphins. You know, the receivers really didn't have to do much. I wonder if they can win a game where they need their receivers to do something. And then they walloped Jacksonville. All right, great. Great game. Great performance. And since then, it's looked like the Bills' offense that I thought we would get. No Shakir, of course, makes a big difference.
I was going to say in that. Can I make a startling declaration about the Bills right now? They are just as reliant on their number one wide receiver as they always have been. No? Are they not?
It might be.
Look what their offense looks like without Khalil Shakir in there.
Yeah.
And he was in there against the Ravens, but Sal had kind of brought up to us last week or pointed out that ankle injury happened really early on and he never thought he was the same since. The fact he missed the game yesterday I could double down on, he probably was not right against Baltimore. So he's their number one wide receiver, and they look lost without him.
Yep.
And that's not a good... It's not where you want to be. He's not elite prime Diggs in the first place. He's good, but...
He's fine. He's pretty good.
He's it.
Yeah, he's it.
He is it. He is the only guy that Allen finds. That's it. Yesterday, just holy cow, well, without him.
We'll do a lot today. We'll talk about McDermott end of game. Well, if you want to get to the defense, the receivers... The tight ends are in this conversation, too, because for a long time, if I were to say the Bills have the worst receivers in football or some version of that, you could push back with, well, they've got good tight ends.
They have a lot invested in tight ends.
They sure do have a lot invested in tight ends.
They have a $10 million contract invested in one, and they have a first-round pick invested in the other.
Listen, I mean, it's only 6:07 the day after a loss to Houston for a team that's 3-2 and probably going to still win the division, but... That said, what's my hottest take? My hottest take is something that Nate tweeted yesterday, which is they steered wrong when they made the Kincaid pick. That was a veering off course, and they've been chasing this tight end idea since and believing they can run their offense through their tight ends. Okay, how's that going? It didn't go well last year. It got a little bit better when one of those tight ends left the lineup and they start.
I'm just wondering how good Kincaid is.
We're just kind of back to the rudderless identity. What is their identity? Allen is a guy that likes to throw it deep, and you saw that on the final three plays. He wants chunks. He wants plays. Of course he does. He's always wanted that. And that they were going to turn him into some version of a bubble screen thrower and yak guy, they succeeded in doing that. The question is, was that ever going to be worth it? Because, okay, you got yak guys, and the odd thing about the yak guys on this team and is that you don't have many that can get open quickly. which is odd. Anyway.
To get yak, like, long term, I think the guys have to be open.
Quickly.
Like,
yes.
Because Houston, you can design the yak plays with the screens and little crossers, but
hey, how about
Houston
Diggs?
Is all over that yesterday. They are waiting for that to come. Any Curtis Samuel play, they were just waiting for. How many times did they draw up a play for Curtis Samuel where Allen had to double clutch it and not throw it to him?
Can I now say, hey, everybody, remember when Diggs couldn't make those plays work?
Yeah.
Remember that? Can anybody make those plays really work?
Well,
because Diggs had a couple of those against the Bills and made it work.
And I'm someone who wrote that off, too. That's not the type of player Diggs is.
And he had multiple yak plays yesterday. And he had timing plays. And he had big third down conversions. He had more yards receiving than the entire Bills receiver corps. He had more catches than the entire Bills receiver corps in this game. I mean, you could say a lot of things, but the Bills went on the road. They gussied themselves up, and they went to see their ex for the first time in a long time, and they came out looking like fools. What an embarrassment for the passing game. What an embarrassment for Joe Brady. What an embarrassment for Josh Allen to have looked like that, to go 9 of 30. To have the
with Josh Allen.
With Josh Allen.
With Josh
Do you have
Allen.
Any idea how bad you have to be around Josh Allen to be that bad with Josh Allen? It is incredible. It really is. And Allen did not play well.
I was just going to throw that in. Like, I think the bigger conversation is about Brady, the offense, the personnel. Allen did not help them out yesterday.
He did not play well.
He did not help them
out.
And,
of course, I mean, if you want to be an Allen defender, which in this case I probably do want to be an Allen defender, he's not going to often play well when he doesn't trust anybody. Who can he trust? Drop back, count yourself your 3 seconds, and then think like, he didn't know where he's going now, and he's going to roll to the right. All of a sudden, Josh Allen, who doesn't get hurt, right? Most durable guy in the league. Now he's getting shots.
He's getting blasted.
He is getting lit up. So I've got my franchise quarterback, who I have left to die in a vine out there with very little help in the receiving game. Two straight years of think of him like a pass catcher with James Cook and Dalton Kincaid. Think of him like a receiver. All this team needed to do for multiple years was just continue to, you know, keep that pipeline fresh. Keep young guys in here. Instead, it's, you know, Shakir. They're lucky Shakir turned into something. A fifth-round pick. It's Justin Shorter and Marquez Stevenson and Sherfield and Hardy and Crowder. And we're going to elevate Isaiah McKenzie to a bigger role he's not ready for. Mm-hmm. We're going to ask Gabe Davis to do more than he probably ever should do. Constantly underplaying their own quarterbacks. Help. He was unstoppable with a full boat of receivers for 2 seasons. We watched it. And then they just dismantled it over time and tried to blame the whole thing on Diggs. And that, to me, is, I mean, whatever. He probably carries lots of responsibility. But, man, who could have seen this coming? Everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone could have seen this coming. That game yesterday, if you want to get now into the individual game, boy, the Texans were desperately trying to lose.
They gave them every chance.
Unbelievable how much they wanted to lose that game.
Yeah.
You got a fourth down stop on 4th and 1 because they ran into the Giant people. Good call.
Yep, right up the middle.
You had a...
No sneak. I guess they're one of these teams that doesn't run sneaks.
I guess not. Stroud with a fumble and a pick.
Yeah.
Both in deep in...
Man, what a pick by Terrell Bernard.
It was a very incredible...
I like how they broke that play down, too, on the telecast. Like, he makes Stroud think he's covering the tight end going across, and then he dives to the left to get off after Diggs.
Yep.
The fumble is just Stroud being careless, right? Like, he was bad in the second half. Did he do anything in the second half? You know what? Diggs was good. What did he end up with, 82 yards, though?
82.
He didn't kill them. He was very good, though.
He was there when they needed him to be.
The Bills are very lucky that Nico Collins went out in that game early. Like, that's a play that does not get, that does not happen against them, right? Maybe rookie safety, the player over the top. Collins going out early. Like, he to me is why they didn't look the same in the second half. Yep. Their number one receiver was out. But man, every opportunity that you could, even the field goal at the end, like settling for a 59-yard field goal after the intentional grounding, right? Like
everything.
Who thought you were going to get a punt on that drive right before? Like, I didn't think the Bills were going to get the ball back at the 3-yard line in the first place. I thought the Texans were going to get it. They were going to get a first down, or they were going to kick a long field goal there. I would have been interested to see what Ryans would have done on 4th and 5 from. It would have been, I think, like a 61-yarder with, what, 30 seconds left? Does he kick that? Well, we're never going to know because of the intentional grounding, but he might kick a 60-yarder. He might not, because he knows if he misses it, then the Bills have 32 seconds and are 10 yards away from field goal range. So, but we never got that hypothetical.
Well,
never
that was, that. Speaking of things that were baffling, on that possession when they're at the Bills 39 before the intentional grounding.
Yeah.
I mean, they pass it to Dalton Schultz, who goes out of bounds, stopping the clock.
Right.
And then on third down.
Third and 5 at the 39. So that's a, that is a 57-yarder, 56-yarder.
Sure. Yeah. I can't believe they passed it.
They could. I was watching the Bills game. Someone behind me said that they should kneel it.
Yeah.
And they would have they would have been better off.
The Bills had no timeouts.
Yeah.
They should have run the ball, and if it gets stuffed, great. Take it down to 1 second, and then kick for the win, and you go to overtime. Worst case. Instead, they actually got the ground and gave it back to the Bills.
That's another one where Stroud kind of bailed them out. Like,
right.
Terrible. Right. I guess after the play call, what is he supposed to do? Like, he could try to throw it into the dirt somewhere else, but yeah, they were trying to wrap that in a bow.
Penalties are incredible. Like, everything. Houston tried so hard to give that back. All right. Ed writes in. We've got some. What's your favorite stat from this game? Ed just tweeted me a stat I want to get to you.
Okay.
Choking on it. This was only the second time since 2000 the team took possession inside its own 5 with 1 to 3 minutes remaining in regulation with the score tied and defensive team holding all 3 timeouts. So the scenario that McDermott got when they passed 3 times,
he had never had before.
It's only happened 2 times in 24 years.
Okay. And he had never had it? McDermott had never had
it? No, he could not have.
Brady certainly wouldn't have had it.
No. Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Three passes. Is that, you have a huge problem with the three passes?
Huge. Huge problem with the three passes. Yeah. Matt.
I didn't need three runs, but three passes was tough.
You need one run and then to talk about it.
Right. First down. How did the run go on first?
Okay, it's second and 6. Now what do you want to do?
Because if I could really, I would want to go into it, especially knowing they have 3 timeouts. How should you think about it this way? They've got 3 timeouts. You know they want the ball back. There's 32 seconds left. You're going to call 2 runs on 1st and 2nd down. They're going to use their timeouts. You get 2 free timeouts, basically. So you might only get 7 yards out of it, 8 yards out of it, but I can get,
you might
what?
Get 0.
I could get 3rd and 2.
Maybe.
They've used both their timeouts, and now if I want to be aggressive, now maybe I can do that, right? Like, if I want to get to a point of being aggressive and going for the field goal. But, man... They had their timeouts. You knew they were going to use them. Use it. Run a couple of plays. Let them use the timeouts. Then you want to be aggressive, then go be aggressive. That's what I would have done. Never in a million years would I have done that. And I also, did you think they were going to throw it like that 3 times? I was stunned. Last year in Philly? They had a better situation, and they kneeled the ball.
It was a much better situation in Philly. There was a chance to actually go, what, like 30 yards and try a deep kick?
Yeah, I'm like, they're going for this? I don't... there was just a better way to go for it if you were going to go for it.
Well, built into the absurdness of going for it is that you averaged more yards per run than yards per pass in this game.
That's the biggest problem.
That is a cardinal sin that should never happen in a football game. but it did for them. I shouldn't say that. If you run for like 12 yards per carry, that's fine. But usually you're going to pass for more than you run. And the Bills are such a bad passing team yesterday. The idea they would call three passes, like, now's the time it's going to start working. Okay.
Right, you might run the ball, ignore the clock, ignore the timeouts. You, well, not completely ignore the clock, I guess. You need a first down.
How are you going
to
get one?
Just to get the game over, you need a first down. This is the problem with this football team right now. This is the scary part to me about this team, is that's a series, a critical situation where I need a first down, and the best idea you have is to run the football.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
Do you know how often
your best way to get that first down was just to run James Cook?
Do you know how often they ran on first down in this game?
I have no concept, no.
I don't know if it includes the final possession. I'll have to double check. But I saw that they had 26 first and tens.
Yeah.
And they ran on 20 of them.
Really?
That's how run heavy they are. That's how committed to the run they are. And in the one drive where they probably should have run on first and 10,
yeah,
they passed it. They run on first down all the time.
I mean, shouldn't they have been more run heavy yesterday?
Should they have
thrown the ball 30 times? The score got to a point, right, where like you're down 17, you're down 20-3 at one point. You're going to pass it a few more times than maybe you were hoping.
I just can't.
Why are you hoping? Like I'm sitting here like maybe they threw the ball too much, throwing it 30 times. What is this football team? That's even a thought in my head. They threw the ball 30 times. Oh, they maybe should have ran it more.
Yeah.
Holy cow. Matt Collins, 6 targets again. That's my favorite stat. That's my least favorite stat. Again, that their 1 year, $1 million wide receiver is playing every snap and getting 6 targets a game.
Yeah.
How?
I don't know. MVS against Derek Stingley on a 3rd and 10. On a really important play, let's throw it to MVS. Like, okay, Curtis Samuel, here's the perfect storm for him to get involved. I mean, nothing.
I want to believe he's hurt. I want to believe he's hurt. I don't know. They've got multiple years of him on the football team.
Two.
At least two. At least two.
Yeah.
And just, how is there nothing? That's the thing. He has never been this bad in his entire career.
Well, here's a question.
Anywhere.
What's the way out? What's the way out from a weapon standpoint? This is a Davante Adams conversation or Amari Cooper conversation, because Dawson Knox is on the team for another year also.
Yeah.
So you got two spots being occupied by Curtis Samuel and Dawson Knox.
Yeah.
And Keon Coleman's here, and Shakir's here, and Kincaid's here. So, like, really what it is, it's your MVS, Mac Hollins. That's what has to be replaced in order to make this team a legitimate threat offensively. You go against a team that has good corners, you're going to get roasted. No one thinks these guys on the outside can win. And I listened to Joe Marino, the Locked On Bills podcast. Basically, that Houston did the same thing Baltimore is. Like, all this talk about cover two. Teams are not going to do that to the Bills. They're going to go cover one and close the middle of the field and say, go ahead and beat us on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't do it.
No.
They can't do it. These teams will, if you're good enough, the Jets might be good enough to do this too.
They typically have the answers against the Bills anyway.
They always have, even when the Bills had better weapons.
Yeah.
Our number is 803-0550. Give us a call. I mean, we're just the first segment ends up just being like a series of
Chaos, just whatever.
It's like whack-a-mole.
Whack-a-mole,
and
yes,
another thing. And another thing.
Yes.
Would you trust Tyler Bass to hit a 59-yarder?
No.
Maybe not. And another thing. So give us a call, 803-0550. It's Football Monday. Bills lose to the Texans in a game they probably should have lost by more. It would have felt like stealing if they came out with that win, and they almost did.
Yards per play in that game were 6.34. The Bills were under 5 yards per play.
Yeah, it was a horrible game.
4.7.
They were horrible. Their quarterback right now, like, it should never get to this point. And this is a thing about, you want to say it's Allen, you want to say it's the modern day athlete. Like, everybody's got to act like everything's okay, right? Everything's fine. Oh, no, I got to be better for my guys. Like, no one's mad over there. No one's freaking out. And one thing about, like, whatever, it's the Diggs game, so we're going to relitigate Diggs a little bit. Diggs would have hated being that bad.
Mm-hmm.
It would have lit everybody up, right? And they get annoyed by that. They don't like being yelled at. They're upset about that. Like, I'm just, where's the, who are the drivers? And they're not just, out here having a good time. Hey, we're having more fun playing football than ever, taking all these veiled shots at Diggs all throughout the offseason, where Allen has to make a point to say not everything we're saying is about him. But, man, the entire mantra of the team, everybody eats, nice to have nobody focus the ball through. Teams don't know who to stop. That's right, they don't know who to stop because nobody does anything enough to be stopped. Who do you have to stop? Kincaid? Kincaid had a drop. A drop would have been an incredible catch. Here's my matchup nightmare tight end, and the best play he almost made in this game was my quarterback rolling crazy sideways, and he's got to dive out of bounds for 2 feet to get the ball to get a completion. I can't just scheme up a play for Dalton Kincaid.
He did finally get open up the seam.
He did.
Allen underthrew it.
Yes, he did.
But what? Right. But what? He got that open like one time, two times in the whole game. By the way, did you see the Texans trolling the Bills over the mantra?
Everybody eats.
Everybody eats.
I did see that. They should be trolled over it. It was a joke from the start. It is a false idol to worship. Who cares? When have we ever cared about that? No one should have ever cared about everybody eats.
I would have loved that to have been their mantra in a year where they had Diggs and they had gone out and done something else. I have a team like Houston where I've got four legitimate, great targets. If I can include the tight end in that, I think Schultz is pretty good. But whatever, it's mostly the three receivers. Just three guys that's everybody eats. And I know they were not good in the second half,
even if that is everybody eats, that's something for them to say to each other as friends. We shouldn't care. We should not care if one guy gets nine catches or three guys get three catches. There's no reason to care about that. The same thing as being mad about I'm a hockey team. I got too many goals for my top line. Well, who cares? Goals are goals. Catches are catches. Touchdowns are touchdowns.
Well, that's why I'm ready for. I'm done with everybody eats and just Shakir eats. That's it.
Feed Shakir.
You asked like how they come back from this. They come back from this, and that Khalil Shakir is going to get 150 targets. Like I don't know what else you do. Yeah. He's good. I don't know that anybody else on their receiving corps is actually good. Who's good? Is Kincaid even good? Samuel good?
Kincaid is certainly not what he has been sold to be yet.
But I feel like
he's good.
I feel like I know Shakir is good now. That's it.
Yeah.
And I need to funnel the ball to him. And I need him to get healthy immediately.
All right. We yelled a lot. We whacked moles. Your turn to whack some moles here.
We're going to hand the... Is that a hammer?
The whacker, maybe.
Whacker? Yeah,
the bammer. I don't know.
I like the sound of bammer. We'll hand that over.
I just...
It's someone. A mallet.
Listen.
It is a mallet.
I want to say something very important here. When we get to the offseason and we're getting ready for the draft, and I have to be the big stupid guy on the radio blaring a train horn again, it's not my fault. They could have stopped this anytime. 4 years I'm going to be doing this now. I got to do it in April again, and I don't want you to tell me you're tired of me doing it because it's not my fault. There.
Oh, maybe they've traded for Davante Adams by that point.
Yeah, right. 803-0550. The defense did turn it around.
What was the stat you gave me before? 8 for 82? Outside the one
outside
Coleman play?
Outside of the Keon Coleman play, which counts.
Yes, it does.
Great
play by him.
Passes not to Keon. Well, I shouldn't say that. Outside of the Coleman play, Josh Allen was 8 for 29 for 82 yards.
Oh, I mean.
8 for 29 for 82 yards outside of that fourth down play to Coleman. 803-0550, Vinny, PJ, Eric, Paul, Zach, everybody else. Stay with us. We'd love to hear from you. You guys whack some moles. I'm going to take a breath.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.